It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we visit a community cannery operation deep inside Appalachia.
So we know what's there from beginning to end. When you go to the store and buy something canned, you don't know what you're getting.
It does not taste the same.
We'll have that story in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. Democratic lawmakers in the House of Representatives have introduced a new environmental justice bill that emphasizes supporting communities and workers as the country moves away from fossil fuels. The Environmental Justice for All Act was unveiled Thursday at a press conference in Washington, D.C. The bill creates a fund paid for by new fees on oil and gas and coal companies to support extractive industries-based communities and workers. The bill's authors worked closely with environmental justice groups across the country, including in the Ohio Valley, to craft the bill. Taisha Devon with the Alliance for Appalachia says as more coal companies go bankrupt, health care and reclamation obligations are failing on local communities.
This bill has provisions that give our communities access to the resources and benefits of a sustainable future.
Supporters say they will now work on getting co-sponsors for the bill, a bill in West Virginia that would create a new Just Transition Office, unanimously passed the House on Wednesday. In this week's episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear from people who are reviving the art of canning their fruits and veggies. It's a practice that used to be critical for our ancestors to be able to survive the long winter months. There are some efforts to revive the art of canning and make it easier for people who grow their own food to can their vegetables safely and cheaply. Reporter Caleb Johnson has this story about community canneries of Southwest Virginia in a story he originally reported for the podcast Gravy.
When I meet Arnold and Donna LaFon at the Carroll County Cannery in tiny Hillsville, Virginia one morning this summer, they tell me they stayed up till midnight, shelling October beans. If the couple's tired, it doesn't show. By 10 a.m., they're happily prepping their last batch of beans.
And we're through with this one then, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The LaFons drove an hour from their home outside Withville, Virginia. The Hillsville Cannery was the closest one open that day. When a vegetable is ready to be harvested and canned, there's no time to waste. Canning runs deep in LaFon family history.
From the time I was able to walk, we had a garden, and we can at home.
That's Arnold. He's a big man wearing big glasses, and he grew up on a farm.
If you want to find something to do, you'd come to my house, sit down in front of the television. You'd have to worry about sitting there very long. You either had weeds to pull or firewood to carry in, something to do all the time. And that's what, when you live on a farm, that's just the way it is.
Arnold's mother ran the community cannery in Blacksburg, Virginia for 25 years. At 100, she's no longer able to garden or can like she used to, but she still manages to take part in the process.
Now, she sat out there on the blacktop and watched us pick them, make sure we're doing it right, yesterday.
After spending time in a blancher, the October beans are ready for canning. Arnold and Donna line up glass jars, not metal cans, on a stainless steel work table. They scoop beans into each, then add salt and hot water. They cap the jars, then carefully place them in a metal basket, which is raised, then lowered, by a chain hoist into an industrial pressure cooker.
And now we try to get it to 240, and it cooks for 90 minutes.
That's Sarah Griggs. She runs the Carroll County Cannery, its sole employee, in fact. Her mantra, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
The canning process dates back to 1700s France. Napoleon offered a reward of 12,000 francs to anyone who invented a way to preserve food so he could safely feed troops. A winner took 15 years to emerge. A candy maker and chef came up with sealing food jars with wax. He wrapped these jars in canvas, then boiled them. Air was driven out, and the heat destroyed dangerous microorganisms. As the jars cooled, a vacuum seal formed, preventing air from getting back in and spoiling the food. The process remains largely the same. On a busy day like this one, the Carroll County Cannery is loud. Steam whistles as pressure builds, vents gasp hot air. Water pours through the blancher. So while the October beans cook, I ask Arnold and Donna to join me somewhere quieter, and cooler, too. We sit in a room that reminds me of a teacher's lounge. After seeing what it takes to can a large quantity of beans, I ask why at 70-plus years old, they still put in the effort.
We raise our produce for the most part, so we know what's there from beginning to end. When you go to the store and buy something canned, or even frozen for that matter, but primarily canned, you don't know what you're getting.
It does not taste the same.
Arnold and Donna came of age in a time and place where what you grew and preserved in summer and fall was what you ate for the next 6 months until spring. Much of that work was, and still is, done at home. As in the garden, Donna says Arnold's mother is in charge in the kitchen.
His mother sits on a stool in front of the stove the entire time that pressure is up. So she watches that gauge. If it gets more than 1 or 2 pounds off, she adjusts her temperature.
But canning at home has its drawbacks. People fear pressure cookers, and even with an elaborate setup like the Lafon's, it's time consuming.
Then we've got 2 or 3 pressure cookers, so you can keep one on, take it off, put another one on.
That's a slow process. It's slow. Tell them how many you can do at one time.
You only do 7 quarts at a time. So when you come up here and you do 70 quarts at a time.
Government-funded community canneries date back to the late 1800s. They boomed during World War I and II, when Americans grew backyard victory gardens in response to nationwide food shortages. A Washington Post tally found that at one point, there were 3,800 public canneries in the United States. The Carroll County Cannery, which was funded by the county, opened in the fall of 1943. Locals were encouraged to sign up for a class on, quote, the production, conservation, and processing of foods for farm families. That original cannery, it no longer stands.
The old cannery burnt down in 2000, and it was across the street. And the county was not going to build another one. And the granny ladies, who are dead now, said, oh, yes, you are.
Sarah mentions granny ladies with a respect and understanding that the knowledge they possess is crucial to canning and a sense of community in places like Hillsville. She tells me Virginia has the most community canneries still in operation of any state, 10. Sarah and others I talked to for this story attribute that to the granny ladies and the region's character.
It's very rural. It's spread out. We're an agricultural area.
Today, there's a Walmart located about 10 miles from downtown. But in winter, snow will fall, making roads impassable. So it's comforting to know your pantry's stocked with dozens of jars filled with already cooked food. Arnold and Donna end up paying about 78 cents a quart jar for the October beans today. That's in addition to the hours they spent growing, picking, shelling, and prepping the beans. For them, it's worth it, because canning means more than its surface level function. It's also a way to slow down, to spend time with family members.
Even though your hands are working, your mind is going. And one of the kids will say something that'll bring back a memory, and you'll find yourself talking about it and expanding on it and so forth. So it's just, I think, the people that do this kind of thing don't normally have time. And that gives you the time.
That was Donna LaFon speaking with reporter Caleb Johnson. You can hear the rest of this story and more conversations around food and farming in this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia. Listen Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. There's a winter weather advisory for areas in the southeast and northeast through 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Rain and snow showers today with gusty wind, highs in the 30s and 40s. Chance of snow tonight with lows in the teens and 20s, and partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, now with flights to Orlando, Florida, MCO. More at JaegerAirport.com. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week is a fan favorite from Colorado's The Devil Makes Three. Here's their song, Graveyard.
I wanna tell you a story. Ain't got no characters in it but me. I wanna sing you a sad song. Most of it I don't expect you to believe. Starts off just a whiskey and wine, on some miles of travel and some real good times. But it ends in a dark corridor where there ain't no windows and there ain't no doors. Yeah, that's me. Drinking off that bottle, drifting out to sea. Yeah, that's me. Sitting there staring and shaking like a leaf. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. I won't take you to a shipwreck, 1,000 miles underneath the Black Sea. Looks like everybody's sleeping, but look close, they're dead indeed. I wanna lead you to an armchair, deep back in the files of my mind. I wanna sit you in a candle's light, where I've been spending all of my time. Yeah, that's me. Drinking off that bottle is drinking off of me. Yeah, that's me. Sitting there staring, shaking like a leaf. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams. Yeah, that's me. Leaning on my shovel in this graveyard of dreams.
That was our Song of the Week, Graveyard, from The Devil Makes Three. Hear more from them, plus performances from the David Bromberg Quintet, The Suitcase Junket, and more on this week's encore episode of Mountain Stage. Tune in Friday and Saturday nights to hear more Mountain Stage at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.